Everybody loves Love Be Scott. With over 2.3 million channel views, 30 million views of his videos, he's one of the top 100 most watched people on YouTube of all time. He reaches a larger audience than most televised daily talk shows. How did B. Scott become the person he is today?
B. Scott came all the way from North Carolina to LA to work as a realtor and interior designer when his online video blog exploded. He's about to take another giant leap forward and leverage his success into a syndicated talk show.
Listen as B. Scott gives us a behind-the-scenes look at how he comes up with his sassy videos and infectious catchphrases. On November 2nd, B. Scott talks in depth with his favorite pop star, Mariah Carey. Did the glitter goddess let B. Scott touch her rhinestone-covered microphone?
B. Scott talks about what it's like to be the object of Jamie Foxx's affections, the changing face of YouTube, and if his evil twin, Hate B. Scott, ever gets a hold of him.
Cross-dressers beware, Morehouse College, the all-male African-American school in Atlanta, Georgia, bans the wearing of women's clothes to class.
YouTube is set to stream the U2 concert live on Sunday. Is live streaming the future of online video?
Madonna's upstairs neighbor proclaims, "Hey, Mrs. DJ, turn the music down." In a complaint filed in the Supreme Court of New York, the pop diva is allegedly rehearsing her dance moves with the volume dial turned all the way up to 11.
And an Australian man is caught spying on his roommates with an elaborate system of cameras, but the police can't prosecute because they can't crack the code to get on his computer.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Today's show is brought to you by generous support of fabulous listeners like you.
We really can't do the show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffun.com, and make a donation. Buy a t-shirt.
Your financial support makes all the difference.
Thank you. Feast of Fun is also brought to you in part by
Steamworks Gym, Sauna, and Bath.
Release the pressure!
Saca la presión.
Steamworks.
Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play. Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, Toronto, Seattle, Washington, and now Vancouver, British Columbia.
When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you.
Visit steamworksonline.com and register for a discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fun in the promo code field to get the special discount. And remember, play hard,
play smart, and buy
LifeLube.org, your field guide to gay men's health.
LifeLube delivers daily news and commentary on sexuality, cutting-edge research, and fresh thinking on health and wellness.
Nominated for a GLAAD Media Award for their How Are You Healthy campaign, LifeLube takes a sexy, sensual, lusty, and loving new look at gay men's health.
Gay, sexy, healthy, LifeLube.org. And so we learned from Jermaine Dupri, who is Janet Jackson's ex-husband. He said, if you follow me on Twitter, you gotta follow my rules. And so today we have a very popular Twitterer and video blogger, Love B. Scott. Welcome to Feast of Fun.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back again.
Girlfriend, it's so good to see you. What is your number one rule? If people follow you on Twitter or Facebook or YouTube, what is it?
Well, my number one rule is the same button that's used to follow me can be used to unfollow me. So therefore, I suggest you use it. Don't be afraid. You know what I mean? I hate people who announce the fact that they're unfollowing you. Yeah. I'm unfollowing you because just do it and shut up.
Yeah. Well, they want the attention.
Yeah, they want to feel special and be like, oh no, come back, love muffin.
It's so good to see you in person. We had such a good time talking to you last time on the show and talking
it was about a year ago.
Yeah, it was about a year ago.
So since last year, President Obama was elected. You're kind of like the Obama of video blogging.
Yes, and an Obama of television, soon to be, hopefully. Knock on somebody's wood.
Let me give you a little tambourine shaking.
Praise him!
Yes. Praise it.
Yes.
Over 2.3 million views of your channel. You're the top 100 of the most viewed, most subscribed video bloggers on YouTube of all time.
Yes.
Your videos reach an audience larger than most daily televised talk shows and news programs.
Yeah.
And you're all about the love. And you're about to be on television. Your career is going incredible. You just hung out with Mariah Carey.
Yes, I'm so excited about that. The actual interview is going to come out November 2nd. But yeah, I got an exclusive interview with her backstage after her concert in Vegas. And it was amazing. Like, Nick reached out to me. He actually saw me on Twitter. He's really about
Nick, Nick Cannon, her
Nick
husband.
Cannon. Yeah, Nick Cannon, her husband.
He can do no wrong.
Yeah, so he reached out to me this one night randomly. He was like, what you talking about, B. Scott? And I was like, nothing but how much I love your wife. And then he just arranged everything, and it was wonderful. And but so, I'm not going to say too much, because I want you to watch it.
We'll be watching it. Mm-hmm. So did you actually get to touch her rhinestone-covered microphone?
No, I didn't get to touch her rhinestone-covered microphone.
What's up with that?
I don't know. It's just, it's Mimi. It's Mimi. That's what I said when I met her. I was like, my Mimi, Mimi.
But she has a reputation, though, of being a little bit hard to handle.
No, she was very nice and down to earth to me. You know, that's why I save all my opinions until I actually meet the person.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people have all these different things to say about me. So I can just imagine how it would be for someone like Mariah Carey that's been in the business for like 20 years. You know, people say a hodgepodge of things, you know. So when I met her, I just kept my mind open. And I was like, you know, hopefully she's everything I thought she would be for all these years. And she was.
It almost seems because I noticed that your video production has gone through the roof, because it drives me crazy. There's some of these famous YouTube video bloggers,
mm-hmm.
and they have millions of people watching their videos every day, but you can't hear what they're saying. The light is really low or something like that. And that's kind of fun, you know, but now you've like gone
to a whole different
level.
Yeah. And I also want to correct something you said.
What?
You said 2 million. My videos have been seen over 30 million times.
Oh, I'm sorry. Their channel.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm about to say, okay.
30, oh, let's correct
it. You're the 30 million. I work hard for those views. Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. I'm about to. Don't make me. Okay. But yeah.
You can slap me anytime you want. So we got a little whistle here for you. So you want you to say something sexy followed by something very unsexy. Right?
And I do it on the whistle?
Right now, I'll give you special effects. So go for it. Say something really sexy.
Come on, get these good done dabbies.
Now give me something unsexy.
I just farted. But someone might find that I just farted sexy.
You really did fart?
No.
I don't smell it.
If I did, you would smell strawberries.
I smell strawberries in the
strawberry.
Room. You're in the process of leveraging the success of your online videos into a TV show.
I feel like when I first started doing YouTube, it was like a growing process. It was like therapy. I was venting. I was talking about my Ethiopian neighbor. And, you know, and during the course of that, you kind of figure out, you know, what you like to do, what you don't like to do, as well as like, you know, you can't be doing the same thing forever. You have to switch it up at some point. And, you know, there are people on YouTube that are doing what I did 2 years ago, you know, so you have to kind of just, you know, evolve and change and go with the flow and give, you know, do things to, you know, help people see you as being relevant. Otherwise, people will just move on and, you know.
And so then.
And do what's true for you. Like, you know, like the new the new show format that you see is true for me. It's, you know, it's fun. It's different. It's, you know, fabulous.
You used to come out, you'd be half naked.
It's
with a towel Scott!
Right. And I mean, the thing is, and people are going to see some of those same components right now. It's just like, because we are, you know, doing the best we can, how we can, we just kind of put out there what comes first. So if we get the Kim interview or the NeNe interview or the Mariah Carey, we edit it and put it out there. You know, it's just, but people will start seeing more of, you know, B. Scott Words of Wisdom or me ranting about something, but it just be more of a higher production quality.
Sure. And you're filming out of your house. So when you talked to the Real Housewife from Atlanta, was that in your home?
Actually, no, that was a house in the hills.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a really good looking place. Yeah.
I know. I was just like, damn, he's doing moving well for himself on YouTube.
No, but so you kind of like, how does the process work for you? Do you like write down your questions? You reserve the house? Do you get all the camera people together? Because you're sort of like reinventing television
and interviews by doing what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, I have a team of people, you know, and now it takes a village.
A mom.
And, you know, they help with certain things, but the questions and stuff really come from me. And I don't have like any type of cue cards or anything like that. I just, as I'm talking to the person, things pop into my head. And I think that comes from my YouTube, I call it YouTube boot camp. Basically, like when I was doing videos, whatever I talked about just popped into my head as I was doing it live. So the questions that I ask people pop into my head as I'm talking to them.
And the Real Housewives of Atlanta have sort of been the bread and butter of your series so far.
Yeah.
And so you've talked to all these kind of like, I don't want to call them crazy bitches, but but these kind of eclectic, larger than life personalities. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you feel that sometimes that they like you're suffocating under their pressure or the intensity of their presence?
No, because I'm a very strong personality. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I oftentimes have to tell myself, you know, let them talk.
Sure. Well, what is it about the show that you like?
About the Real Housewives of Atlanta? I just like the drama of it all. It's very, very drama filled. I find the ladies hilarious, how they, you know, all pick fights with each other. And, you know, I do wonder how real it all is, but they say it's, you know, as real as it can get. But I kind of feel like sometimes it's like, you know, NeNe, go pick a fight with Kim, pull her weight, you know? I kind of feel that way.
Do they call you on the phone and they're like asking for advice?
No, we text. I do a lot of texting with the Real Housewives.
Who's like the one who's up your business the most?
Well, the one that I'm coolest with would probably be Candy. I think she's really cool and nice and sweet. And, you know, we text.
And who do you dislike the most?
Who do I dislike the most? I really love them all. I really don't dislike them.
But there's one that you probably don't have as good a relationship or as close a relationship.
Well, I can say the two that I haven't interviewed yet.
Okay.
I haven't interviewed Lisa and I haven't interviewed Sheree.
But you can't make a judgment because you don't really know them.
Yeah, and I haven't met Sheree yet at this point. I reserve judgment until I meet people. That's the thing, the difference between me and a lot of other people, too, on the internet. Is like I actually know the people. Instead of just talking about them.
Well, a lot of people, they come up to me and they go, do you really know Love B. Scott?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always like, if you're gay, we all know each other on the internet. Like, you're, you know,
it's one
Chris
big
Crocker,
gay family. Yeah.
You know, Michael Buckley. Like, you guys actually have, like, had, you know, your kids go to the same daycare together.
It basically. And, you know, and it's funny because, you know, for the most part, we do support each other. You know, it's not that deep. I think a lot of times people try to pit us against each other, but we do totally different things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm B. Scott, and, you know, that's Chris Crocker, that's whoever else, you know what I mean? I do me and I do it well.
They pit you against each other.
Or they try to, you know, like they try to do like Whitney and Mariah or Britney and Christina or, you know, Beyonce and Rihanna.
Those rivalries kind of are good though because that makes some, you know, people take sides
cheer. Not really because I don't feed into it because I really don't see any competition.
You really do believe in the first word of your name, love.
But actually I go by B. Scott, but the Love B. Scott is sort of like a part of the brand, so I get that. Yeah, so B. Scott is the name, but Love is the kind of like the adjective that goes along with it. Love kind of floats around B. Scott.
And you're not right now, just for the record, you're not wearing any makeup.
Thank you.
You just got out of bed. Mm-hmm. You just splashed some cold water and you just look fantastic.
Thank you. Do you see how I anticipated the compliment? I said thank you before the compliment.
We're like,
oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, go on.
I'm going to eat some more of this muffin. Let me just.
That muffin was brought by Devin Green.
So
it's a love muffin. You know what that means, right?
What is that?
Special sauce inside.
Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my.
And how does the whole love muffin come to be? Because for a long time, you were starting your videos with, hey, love, can I imitate you to you and see if I have it good?
Okay.
Hey, love muffins, it's B. Scott.
That was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty good. But it's like, hey, love muffins, it's B. Scott.
Do you use like a pitch pipe and you go, like, just hit a specific note? Like,
no, I just do it. I mean, the thing that's funny is cause everyone's like now because they see the new show and they're like, you know, why aren't you still doing the A?
I miss it.
Yeah, and I'm going to do it from time to time, but you have to switch it up. You have to have people wanting.
You
got to
put it into
you
your intro or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Something like that. It's like, you know, I love
or
doing
break
it.
Break it up.
I love doing it, but it's just like, you know what I mean? If I was at one point, I was like, if I go A, one more, it's like, I feel like I had Tourette's. It's like, like all the A, I'm like, oh, no more. I'm gonna break, but you know, you do it from time to time. And well, anytime a love muffin asks me, I do it.
Can we get it as a ringtone or something?
We can, hopefully. I want to
you know, people can edit this part if you're really cheap and lazy, or you can buy one on through your website, right? Or lovebscott.com.
Yeah, something like that.
Girl, you better get it out now.
I know, I need to be better at merchandising.
You know, because you got your music on iTunes, you got your t-shirts, you got your stickers, you got your Weave products.
Not my weed product.
Love B. Scott makes your hair look fabulous.
Mix your real hair with weave and no one will know the difference.
No, right. No, this is all your real hair.
This is all my real hair. It's kind of tucked. My real hair is very long. My real hair is past my nipples.
And so it's interesting.
Do you ever wear it out?
Yeah. I do wear it out. Wear it out. But today I was like rushing. I didn't want to deal with it. And so I just pulled it back and just gave you fresh face.
It's like a little bit of a Vita.
A Vita.
Yeah.
No cry for me, Argentina.
Yeah. But you sort of, it's interesting that you're doing so well. And mm-hmm. it's, we live in the Obama age.
Right.
Where people from different backgrounds,
yes.
mixed multiracial. Race, multiracial, mm-hmm. are sort of becoming the voices for our generation.
Exactly.
And BET and Jamie Foxx and Mariah Carey. And a lot of big names are saying this is the guy to watch.
Yeah.
What? How does that feel when you hear these things? Does it make you scared?
Doesn't make me scared. It's surreal. It's one thing to have, you know, thoughts and dreams in your head, and then you start seeing them become a reality. Like every time a Love Muffin comes up to me, you're like, "Are you B. Scott?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I am." Like, you know, it's such a special thing, you know, and it's just, you know, to see your dreams become reality, I think is more surreal. I'm definitely not scared because I'm a very confident person, you know? So
but you have
like,
a responsibility now.
I guess so, but I don't want to take on too much of the responsibility. You know, I feel like I'm going to live my life, and if people choose to pull inspiration away from that, then so be it. But I can't, the moment you start thinking of, oh, I have a huge responsibility and, you know, this is what people seem to like and maybe I should do more of that, then you start being true to yourself.
There was a time that you thought maybe I'm not going to make it, that I'm not going to get to this place that I am now.
Yeah, well, I think that was more so like earlier on before I started doing videos, when I was going through a lot of the chastising and people being ostracized by my community and stuff like that for being different. I think that was a part of where I didn't feel like I was going to make it. But since I was doing my videos, I was already at a much better place in life. You know, I had at that point from the very first video, I've already accepted who I was as a person. So that's why when people criticize me now in the business, I don't really pay it any mind because the worst has already been said.
What made you stick to your guns and say, this is who I am and I'm going to be who I am, even if it costs me opportunities and listeners? And
because
viewers.
Honestly, I have no other choice. Because you know,
can always have a choice. You can always like be like, you know, I'm going to butch it up. And
no, I don't. For me, I don't have any other choice because I choose to walk in my truth. And my truth is what you see. And however I choose to express myself. And, you know, if tomorrow I wake up and I feel kind of butch or something, however you want to call it.
Have you ever woken up feeling butch?
Right. And I want to put on a lumberjack, you know what I mean? Sure. And I'll do that. Or if one day I wake up and say, I don't want to do any of this anymore, and I'll stop doing it.
But you're an extremely attractive person. And it's really interesting because you walk a lot of different worlds. Mm-hmm. And it's like Jamie Foxx. Mm-hmm. Who, you know, we didn't, who would have thought that Jamie Foxx would be like your number one fan?
Yeah, I mean, who would have thought? I was very shocked.
Let's read what he actually said. This is what he said here. We got it. This from the quote here. Where is that? He said, let me find this here. I got to use the Wikipedia here.
The power of the wiki.
He declared, I love B. Scott. He is very attractive. He looks like a cross between Prince, Rosario Dawson, and Lenny Kravitz.
Oh my.
So that's two men and one woman. Yeah.
I don't see a ring on your finger yet from Jamie.
Well, you know what?
He said it in his own words.
I'm going to do the Mariah Carey laugh. You know what I mean? I was very flattered by that. I was very flattered by that. And I think that I love the message that it sends that, you know, you can be a heterosexual male and say something nice and positive about a flamboyantly gay man. And, you know, it's okay. You know, because, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I think that if a person is attractive, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter what sexuality or what gender they are. It is what it is. It's just true.
Yeah, move that cell phone away.
I know.
It's getting recorded.
My BlackBerry.
You know, that's why the reason is like they make you turn off your cell phones when you're on an airplane is because basically the intercom mm-hmm. system is like a podcast mm-hmm. between the pilot and the control tower. And so they go, but I was wondering
I will say this. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I will say this about when I saw the nude pictures of Jamie Foxx.
He looked fine.
Yeah, he did. And I was like,
nude pictures?
Yeah, his nude pictures. And it made me feel awkward. I was like, oh, I feel like, you know, we're friends now. And now I see your ding ding. And
how did you see naked pictures of him? I missed this.
Yeah, they had it up. They hit the internet. It wasn't on my website,
okay. But you know, it was on some of those.
any chance that you're gonna do similar photos?
How'd they get naked photos?
No, you know, the thing is, once all these celebrities mm-hmm. started having leaked photos of them, whether they were quote unquote leaked or not, mm-hmm. I deleted all mine. So I had some not so nice things, and I had a little, you know, little video thing going on, and I deleted those because I don't want that out there. I mean, that's
somebody has a copy of that XTube video or that sort of like online hookup profile photo of you. Somebody does.
What do you mean online hookup? What?
You know, like if you want to get jiggy with it.
Oh no! I've never been on Manhunt or never been on.
Don't say the brand. Give them a free plug.
Oh, okay. I'm saying I've never been on any of those sites, so they can't get a screen capture. Well, so and if it is, it's a fake Biscotti.
So how did Jamie Foxx look? I haven't. This is the first time I've heard about these pictures.
He was nice. Yeah. He was nice, very fully equipped and things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so are you, Daddy? Because you're a little tranny-ish. You walk that gender bendy thing.
Yeah, I think. Well,
have you been going out with Eddie Murphy at all?
No.
Careful.
even though I love my transgender, I'm very much so non-gender conforming, just like they are. But no, I'm not a trans, very much so a man.
So are you seeing anybody? I mean, because
I'm totally single, and I prefer not to date anyone in the industry. I don't really want to date another person in the industry. Mm-hmm. I would prefer for them to do something
like
else.
Industry? Like everybody has a Facebook profile now.
No, like in the entertainment industry. I would prefer for them to be like doing something else, being passionate about
airplanes. Construction worker or
whatever.
Like, what's the ideal man for you?
The ideal man for me.
Somebody works in accounting, or a bodybuilder, a construction worker, a soccer player.
A farmer. I don't know. I like a person who is like passionate about whatever they're doing. A person that is not all goo goo gaga over being, I hate saying that word, but being
an internet celebrity.
Yeah, something like that. You know,
is it fair to say internet celebrity? I mean, you're a celebrity, period. And everybody knows who you are. And it's sort of like, is internet sort of like saying, like putting a qualifier?
Well, that's how you became known. No, I think, you know.
And I think that it's cool because, you know, soon I will be on television. Mm-hmm. But I always will have that strong internet base. And I kind of find that flattering because the internet in a lot of ways is more powerful than television. Because I'm global. Mm-hmm. Right now. And I have an audience right now. So, I mean, so like television would be great. It'd be another component of what I already do. But the internet is still very, very important.
Do you want to do a shout out to some of your more unusual fans out there in parts of the world that we may not know about?
Well, I have a lot of fans in like Thailand. So hi, all
surprise,
my Thailand
fans.
Oh. A little tranny tambourine.
Tranny tambourine. Yes. You know, and I think that too, like I also want to make sure that we do not offend the transgender community because I think a lot of transgender do find the word tranny offensive. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to be condoned, especially me being as non-gender conforming as I am. I love my transgenders. I love all non-gender conforming people just like I am.
What's a better word than tranny?
Transgender.
But that's not, doesn't have fun.
But yeah, you know what I mean? It's like,
I understand what you're saying. Some people do.
Because tranny has a very negative connotation. Right. And, you know, I don't care when people say, you know, B-Scott's a tranny. You know, I find it hilarious because, I mean, if I was, it wouldn't be a bad thing.
The thing about tranny, though, is that I always feel that we are all sort of negotiating and discussing what our gender is going to be, our sexuality from a day-to-day basis. I'm sure Jamie Foxx wakes up in the morning and looks in the mirror and goes, should I be Jamie feminine or Jamie masculine? You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a big thing in the gay community, too. Yeah. I think a lot of gays feel like, you know, transgenders are different, you know what I mean? Or they think they might be a little bit better because they can, I guess, quote unquote, pass a little bit more, you know what I mean? But it's really the gender nonconforming people that are making it easier for all the gays because, we bear a lot of the brunt of things, you know? I'm not a transgender, but I am gender nonconforming. So when people look at me, they don't quite know what's going on. And I like that. Mm-hmm. That's what makes me stand out.
And it turns them on.
Yeah, it turns them on. And then people don't know what race and what gender and whatever. And you shouldn't know. Mm-hmm. Why try to box me up?
And you're like, I'm here to confuse you.
Yeah, I'm here to confuse you. I'm here to stay.
I don't know if it's necessarily confusing. Like, I think it's interesting because like everybody sort of like sees you as B. Scott and they don't. Mm-hmm. They don't have to ask a question, who is B. Scott? Because they know the answer to that.
Exactly.
And maybe that's a key in liberation is to not, like as Gay Adek Balola said last week, don't be ashamed and be very clear as you can and as open as you can with who you are, and you're not going to have as many problems.
Yeah, and I think it's important that, you know, it's however people choose to label me, that's how they label me. I know what I am, and I choose to define myself the way I do. And so that's the most important thing. Don't let other people dictate to you who you are. You know, like a lot of people look at me and some people say, oh, well, you know, you're black, you know, and I have no problem with someone saying that I'm black. And I do identify with that community as well. But I also know that I'm multiracial. So I'm not going to just deny my white mother just because someone just wants to say, well, you black and I don't know why you trying to act like that. You know, I mean, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's just like, I am who I am. And the same thing with, you know, with how I look in terms of, you know.
Well, actually, people want to know, what are you exactly? Like,
my mother's Irish and my father is African-American, Meharry Indian and Jewish.
And then 100% fabulous.
Yeah.
This of is course, like 50% splendiferous.
I mean, yeah, I think that people just need to, you know, grow up.
I forgot
up
about splendiferous.
Splendiferous divine, yes.
So are we going to have like a B. Scott Wikipedia, like Scottypedia? Or
like all my terminology?
Yeah, because you have a lot of words terminologies that you've developed over the years.
It is so funny because I have so many words that other people started picking up and I forgot that I even started the term. And then like,
what's one of those?
It's like, what's one of the ones that people use all the time?
Splendiferous is one. Love muffin. Paw
paw. Wait a minute. Somebody. Gutter butt trollops. A lot of people use that. nasty gutter butt trollops. And I've seen splendiferous a lot more. I saw some website that was selling love muffin t-shirts.
Oh,
I was
really?
Like, wow.
What do you think when you see those? Do you get mad? Do you go, it's like, where's my cut, honey?
I don't care. I mean, I pull new terminology out my butt all the time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that just, I'm a creative type of person, so I don't really care.
Where did, hey, love muffins, it's B. Scott. How did that even come to be?
It just happened when I did my first video. It is something, I knew I wanted to do some type of introduction when I started. And it just, I was like, and the reason why the A, because I was like, what in the hell am I going to say after that? It was like, A. Love, you know what I mean? So if you listen to the first video, you'll hear the like hesitation at the A before the love, and then the muffins came.
So you were, and then what made you stick with it?
Because I was going to say muffins because my grandmother called me a muffin.
Love muffin. Oh, she just called me a muffin.
And the love, I don't know where it came from, just came.
And the rest of the system. I mean, but so do you ever like sitting back and say, you know, let me come up with a hey, love butter cakes or no, you know, sweet
but
friends.
But it is funny to see other people do it. Because now
they're trying to imitate you.
Yeah. Now you see everyone else that has like terminology for their fans. And it's funny on Twitter, they try to like, hey, blah, 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 oh, good night, such and such and such. You know, I'm like, aw.
We have a terminology for our fans. They're called listeners.
Listeners.
Friends and listeners. You know. And sort of the line gets blurred. Uh-huh. It's like you become friends with some of your listeners because you're pretty accessible. You actually read, unlike sort of some, I'm not going to say any names, but some of these internet so-called celebrities that have Twitter accounts, you actually follow people and you read all the direct messages. So it's not like it's impossible to get a hold of you.
Right. But I also think that people need to be aware that when you do get in the spotlight, there's so many people reaching out to you. You cannot respond to everyone. And people make, you know, they get really upset about that.
Hire somebody to pretend to be you.
So what?
Hire somebody to pretend to be you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's the answer either.
No.
I'm just saying that it's
because you can tell.
It's really hard. It's like, you know, I have people sending me messages on YouTube and MySpace and Facebook and Twitter and then my regular email and you know what I mean?
So I just tell people, it's like, look, if you're going to try to contact me, send me an email.
Yeah. Because
then it's a to-do list.
Exactly.
Whereas on Twitter, like, it may get deleted. Exactly. Twitter may have the fail well. You know, Facebook, good luck.
I tell my friends, if my friends who are my friends in real life, you need to just hit me up, like, by text or call me. We don't need to be doing these full-blown conversations via Twitter. So, I mean, that's just a way to allow people who are being nosy to get in your business.
Right.
So, if you guys want to contact Love B. Scott, just call him on the phone, 303-521-8256.
Oh, I feel sorry for that person that's got that number.
Are you B. Scott? Is this B. Scott? May I speak to B. Scott, please?
How's Devin Green's love muffin there?
It is delicious. I am tearing it up. Like I'm.
That's Devin's own creation. She's not a very good cook.
Well,
but it was good.
It's her own creation because she bought it in the store. Right.
Have you heard about Morehouse College?
Yes, it's so shameful.
They banned cross-dressing. Mark, explain to the listeners what's going on here.
So Morehouse College is an all-male African-American college by Atlanta, and it's produced, you know, some greats like Martin Luther King, Samuel Jackson, Spike Lee, and they recently put a ban on cross-dressing, and they actually went to the GSA, the you know, Gay Straight Alliance or whatever, and there's 27 members, and they asked, what do you guys think about this? And they said, only three people said that they think it was a bad idea. And so they're saying that if you dress as a woman to go to college, that they'll send you home.
But isn't that part of like the college experience, especially in fraternities? And now that fraternities are a little bit more gay friendly, that they sort of dress up their pledgers in pretty outfits.
But my thing is that my bottom line is that this is the raw truth of it all. Like 75% of African-American students now go to white institutions. Mm-hmm. So you're pulling from 25%. And so that's all black institutions, universities and colleges are pulling from that 25% of the black population that attends, that was going to, you know, new undergraduates. And I think that, you know, the dress code should be the least of their worries. They need to worry about, you know, increasing attendance, increasing enrollment, making the facilities better. You know, why are you focusing on, you know, obviously from what I've heard is like, you know, four or five students who were, you know, dressing in, you know, in maybe a few pieces of women's clothing. I don't know to the extent of it, but I think that college is about self-exploration and exploring who you are. And it's a very crucial time in your development. Why would you choose to go to a place that is, you know, not open and receptive to who you are as an individual? And what people fail to understand is that even though cross-dressing may not apply to you, you know, and you may be, you know, a guy, a gay guy that doesn't do that type of thing, but it still sends an overall, it may creates an environment and a certain vibe that, you know, basically, you know, we're not open and receptive to gays.
What I think what's wrong with the policy and some of the statements that they've made is that they said that cross-dressing is disrespectful, that it's not respectful of like your gender. And it's kind of like, what does that mean even? I don't even know. It's like, because somebody wants to wear women's clothing is because they want to wear women's clothing.
And it's self-expression.
Yeah.
You know, and it goes back to the social constructs. Mm-hmm. You know, who's to say what men should wear and what women should wear? You know, it's like a society thing, you know, and I do not let society dictate to me what I do as an individual. And I would encourage those students who are going through that, who are being kicked out, I mean, obviously, because, you know, I'm sure they will get kicked out if they continue to cross dress, you know, to, you know, take it in stride and continue to express yourself. And the reality is so many great institutions out there that you do not have to choose to go to Morehouse.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, because diversity is not just about you're where you come from, it's also who you are. It's a diversity of voices.
It's like self-expression. You know, if you choose, I mean, whatever they want to wear, if they want to wear, you know, a paper sack, you know, like they should be able to do that. And it should not be, it's not the university's responsibility to tell you how you should dress.
I'd like to see Morehouse College like make up for this by giving you a PhD. That's the least they could do. You may laugh. I'm serious.
I was thinking about going down and taking a few classes myself and turn it out. Okay.
Oh, what would you be studying?
Let me tiptoe across campus, huh?
What would you be studying? What would you be teaching?
Gay 101.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
From Cox to...
From Ding Ding to
what is your word for butthole?
Bagel buns.
From ding dings to bagel buns, all you ever wanted to know.
No, but I think that it's unfortunate, but it's typical. It's typical of, yeah.
I'm wanting, listen, the people at Morehouse are listening right now because they probably have the Google alerts set up for their name.
Right.
So they're listening to what you have to say about them.
Well, I'm saying B. Scott is saying that it's shameful. That dress code is very shameful.
And I'm saying if you want to make up for it, you take somebody like that is respected and admired. You know, Jamie Foxx and Mariah Carey thinks he's hot. And you send a nice big fat check to Love B. Scott and then fly PhD. Him over and a PhD piled high and deep.
No, actually, you make the check out to B. Scott Media LLC.
It's a limited, you have a limited liability corporation.
Yes, I do.
So you can do anything you want.
Yes, basically.
You won't get into trouble.
Right.
You can say anything.
And you know what's funny too? At Morehouse, it's like, it's so many gays that go to that institution. It's ridiculous. Like, I feel like it's half the campus.
Really?
You know, maybe only a few of them cross-dress, but the rest of them are gay as hell.
So what
if
is
I had
going
a dollar,
on?
If I had a dollar for every gay Morehouse graduate I have met, I wouldn't have to do any of it.
Even a quarter?
Say what?
Even a quarter?
Even a quarter. They're gay. They're,
really?
A lot of them gay, yes.
Because it's an all-male college.
Yeah, it's just all type of shenanigans going on that campus.
Well, so you're gay, you're popular, you're a rising star, you're accepted by both traditional and cutting edge people and everybody.
I'm accepted by people who understand that I'm doing and being true to who I am.
I think pretty much everybody likes you. It's hard not to like you. What message do you have to your own community? Say, you know, let's do this to make it easier for queer people like me, for the young kids. What are we as our own community not doing enough of? What is one simple thing that we could do to make it better?
Being proud of who we are and making no apologies for it. I think a lot of people try to, in different ways, try to conform or try to fit in or try to be a part of something that in reality you would never quite be a part of. So just be true to who you are. And I think by doing that, then you will send a message to the young kids growing up that it's okay to be whatever that is. You know, being gay or, you know, it's like, it's a huge spectrum. You know, that goes from all the way from potentially cross-dressing to, you know, being undetectable by quote-unquote heterosexual standards. You know, so, I mean, but every shade in between is a part of our community. And we cannot send the message that it's okay to be a part of this this part of the spectrum, not this part of the spectrum. And I think that's what's happening at Morehouse, where they're saying that the cross-dressing is taking it too far, even though you have all these other gays that go to the school.
And that's why they got to give you a PhD. Exactly. Make up for it, people.
And so the gays that are the ones that are in the quote-unquote acceptable part of the spectrum need to be as upset when something like that happens to the other end of the spectrum.
Now, you are here living in California when the whole during the last election, when we had the highs of President Obama being elected and the low of Proposition 8 being passed.
Yes.
What went through your mind and how did you respond to it? Besides the fact that you had Adam Buska photograph you with a piece of duct tape on your mouth.
Yes. I think my response was that it's just really sad that, you know, Obama was elected on a message of change. And I felt like, you know, by them doing that, it was more of the same, you know, for us in California to, you know, basically say that it was not okay for two people who love each other to be married. It's just very sad.
Because I also noticed that a lot of people were blaming sort of like communities of color, which actually didn't make a very significant proportion of the ones who voted in support of Proposition 8 to take away marriage equality in California. And sort of you speaking for two different kinds of audiences, how did you feel like you were sort of pulled in two different directions, or how, you know what I'm saying?
In a way, but also, I mean, I'm very much so like into statistics and stuff. So I knew when people were blaming the African-American community for Proposition 8 passing. Is it passed, right?
Passing.
And that's something that always, that's always that confused me. It's very confusing. I think that was
the yes or the no.
I think that's the reason why they did it that way too. Because I think a lot of people who voted yes on Proposition 8 really meant like
no.
Right. So I think they probably were confused, but
because that does, you know, you think statistically that does have a something effect. To consider.
It's like reverse psychology in a way or something like that. But I think that, you know, I knew from the very beginning that, you know, the African American community was not responsible for it passing. So I wasn't torn. I just felt it's ignorance. I think people like in day and age, like if you can Google and find statistics, like when I said 75% of African Americans now attend white institutions, that's easily Googleable. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's no reason for people to be so ignorant.
I think that's the first time I've ever heard Googleable.
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 Googleable. Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I mean, it's no reason for being ignorant. You can Google it. Yeah. So, I mean, so, and I think that it just, to me, it's just sad, but I'm going to live my life the way I want to live my life. Even if I can't get married in California, I will go to the couple of other states where you can get married.
So Jamie Foxx is going to have to wait.
So what's the state of YouTube today? Because I was looking at this article today and I was fascinated that YouTube or U2 is going to be on YouTube. It's kind of confusing to say.
YouTube.
So they're going to live stream their show on Sunday from Pasadena. Yeah. And they're going to put ads up on it. Mm-hmm. They do it. So how are you feeling about YouTube these days? Because YouTube kind of made you who you are.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how I feel about YouTube. It's just like, it's just so many people. It's like everybody and their mama now is on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, I don't know. I mean, I think when I came around for YouTube, it was a special time. It was a special time. You know, people were really excited about YouTube. It was like, you know, me, Chris Crocker, what's the buck, you know?
Right.
And now it's just like, you know, so many people are there and it's like, you know, a lot of people are hating on each other and you're not being positive. And you know what I mean? Like, it's chaos and it's hard for you to find those new people. I'm sure there are new people out there that are fabulous and funny and all that type of thing. But when you have so many people, and I think when Google bought out YouTube, they changed the format in different ways, and it's hard to focus. I feel like now when I go to YouTube, I don't know, unless I know specifically what I want to type in keywords, it's too many things to watch.
It's hard to discover stuff.
Yeah, it's hard to discover stuff, and I think I'm blessed that I already have a huge fan base on YouTube. So it's sort of like when you're a new artist, it's hard to establish yourself if you don't already have a fan base. So it's hard to go tour if you don't have a fan base already set up. So I feel like on YouTube, it's hard for a new person to potentially, you know, get exposure because there's so many people and you don't really have that fan base.
And so what advice would you have to people who are just getting started on YouTube who are trying to reach a mass audience?
I don't know. I mean, I definitely be true to who you are. You know, even though a lot of people on YouTube do this, you know, imitation is a great flattery, but it's not going to get you where you need to be.
So don't do like, hey, Love Muffins, it's John Smith.
Yeah. And it's funny because even though I find that flattering when other people copy me, it's still not going to get you where you need to go. Like, you need to be true to who you are so people can see you as being unique. Why would you watch somebody else that's obviously a knockoff of the real thing? And the real thing is still on YouTube.
Well, one thing that's been driving me crazy about YouTube is that the voices of queer people are getting buried. And part of the problem is that YouTube reaches everyone.
Right.
And part of the reality of our world today is that there's a significant portion of our population that hate somebody just because they're queer, because they're different.
Right.
And so they flag these videos, and YouTube's automated system takes down videos or even channels just because this person was edgy or weird or saying something that was controversial, but actually not offensive or violating their community standards in any way.
Exactly.
And there's no recourse for that. Yeah. It's not like you can pick up a phone and say, hey, YouTube, or even pay $15 or $20 and say, YouTube, I'm Fausto. I had a video where my boyfriend was putting lipstick on me and I was screaming for help. I really wasn't screaming for help. It was called forced feminization. You took it down. You threatened to take down my entire channel. You took down a bunch of other people's channels, including Chris Crocker and Johnny McGovern's channel, and really for no good reason. And yeah, you contacted Chris Crocker, but you haven't contacted other people, and and these people are frustrated.
Yeah, and I think that, if, for example, like when I did the Marcus Patrick video, they flagged it as inappropriate content. It was just me and Marcus Patrick dancing with each other, you know, in a sexual way. But I mean, there's so much worse things on YouTube, heterosexual content, that is like outrageously inappropriate, and they have not been flagged.
I'm hoping that the people that actually are running this community are listening right now. What can we say to them directly? Can we say, give us an ability to speak with you, interact with you on a one-on-one basis?
They're not going
to
do that. That's the
Why
thing.
Won't well, they
the
do that?
Because there's so many people that it would be a huge, huge headache, and it would cost a lot of money.
Well, yeah. Charge us to do it with you. Charge me $20 to speak to somebody on the phone. Why not do that?
Interesting.
That's an interesting concept.
And I think I think partners, because I'm a YouTube partner.
Yeah.
I think it allows I have a way to talk to them. And I think that's not necessarily, you know, fair to a certain degree.
Right on. And so I think the other thing is, though, too, is that we really
have to teach
the corporation that just because something's gay doesn't mean it's offensive.
Exactly.
You know? So that's the key, is to get the corporate culture to change.
Well, I'm hoping that we can put pressure on them, you know, collectively, because I think individually we're sort of like screaming, why did my video get taken down? But, you know, you're
well, we need to collect real data and really come together and find out who's been taken down and what's been happening. And is it solely because it's gay content?
And I will say this, too, but we also have to say that YouTube has been very, very good to some of us gays. You know, a lot of the biggest YouTube personalities are gay. You know, and so I think
Chris Crocker
and Michael Buckley.
Yeah, and so I'm saying, it's like, you know, I think that, you know, we can't, it is, you know, nothing is perfect, and we try to do the best we can to make it better. And I think that, you know, expressing concerns like we did today does that.
So for the listeners, if you had your video taken down by YouTube, upload it to Vimeo, upload it to Blip.
And that's what I did with Marcus Patrick. I actually called MySpace because I knew a guy at MySpace, and they said I could post it there and they wouldn't have to.
Because it was just the two of you, and I assume Marcus, because he has that absolutely fine body. Yes. I'm sure he was like half naked.
Yes, he was half naked and he was in his underwear.
Oh!
And they were saying something about, you know, I think one part, I guess I kind of see a little bit, you know, I think he kind of got like a, you know.
He got aroused?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit? Did you tap that? You don't have to.
I need some water.
Nod your head up and down, or I won't say.
I'm eating my love muffin.
Because he didn't answer it. The question. That means he answered the question.
No, like, no answer does not mean yes. But does that mean that no answer means no answer?
We'll dish after the show.
We'll dish after
the show. Well, the other thing, too, how about this?
Let's do like Clue. Dancer.
Let's do like, you know, the movie Clue.
Dancer for money.
So we're going to answer the question in yes and no. Okay, so we'll pretend like it didn't happen.
Come on, it's over.
I think it's funny. Be like this. Watch this. Did you have sex with him? And you say, no, I didn't. But I really wanted to. He was a great guy. Or you could say, yes, I did. It was fantastic. We still call each other all the time.
Or I can just say no answer and let people just imagine what happened.
Because sometimes it's imagination leaving things up to...
So after the camera stopped, you can just imagine what happened after that.
I think people are already imagining what happened. And do you feel like sometimes your privacy is sort of like put into challenge and
oh, yeah, definitely.
And you just have to say, you know, back off, people.
Yeah, I think my privacy definitely is put into challenge, especially like when you go out and like, you know... I love to go out and get my drink on and have a few cocktails and shut
your
mouth potions. Used to be like Abbey used to be my spot. Like I was always at the Abbey. That's what I used to call the clubhouse. And we used to have a place here, Beige, that used to be at at the Falcon every Tuesdays that I would go to, but they don't have that night anymore. So I'm kind of sad about that. But yeah, so I would go, most of the time I go to the Abbey. But
we're going to be at Mickey's at West Hollywood on Friday. 8 o'clock. Do you want to come?
Are you doing live something?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm come. Definitely. I'll be there.
It's for listeners. And, you know, you can be in the same room with them and they can't escape you.
They can't escape me. Wow.
You lock the door and say,
I got you now.
It'll be a lot of fun. We really, honestly, we have the best listeners in the whole world. So it'll be fun.
The nice thing is they're respectful.
Right.
So like when you grab them by the shirt collar and say, back off, you bitches.
Right.
They back off.
They back off. Yeah. I love Mickey's. Mickey's actually burnt down and now it's new and revitalized and fabulous.
We promise not to curse the place again.
You know who used to dance there?
Marcus Patrick. And you know, he's giving it up. Yeah. Yeah, he's not dancing anymore.
So, oh, he's not? He's an actor now.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we all go through different phases in my life. And
now, when you talked to him, did he use his British accent or his American accent?
He used both.
Versatile, eh?
What do you think about the guy? He got arrested or got into trouble for spying on his roommates with an elaborate system of cameras and spy glasses.
He drilled little pinholes all over, and he had two roommates, two girls and a boy, and they were discovering, like, when the lights were off, they're like, "What's that little light over there?" And he had this whole system set up to spy on them, but it wasn't sexy like you would think. It wasn't to like to watch them do things. It was because he was schizophrenic, so he's
paranoid.
He was worried that they were conspiring against him.
Wow.
So yeah, but the thing is though too is like he put this elaborate code on his computer and they couldn't crack it, so they can't. Right. There's no evidence.
Wow.
I know. So
and you know, me, I'm kind of scared. Like, you know, think about like with all these sex tapes and type of things going on. Like, can you imagine going over to someone's house and you start getting the freaks nasty on and they're videotaping it and you don't have any idea that they're doing it and then the first thing you know is on the internet. I'm paranoid about that.
Well, you're
like,
sexually active.
And, what do you mean?
Well, and you meet somebody. You're hot.
I am a virgin. And no one has popped this cherry.
But does that make you like paranoid a bit? Because you're obviously in the public eye. Everyone knows who you are. You meet somebody in a club. You go home with them. Do you start like looking around the room and see if there's a video camera?
I mean, I have procedures and protocols. I really do.
You do?
I have procedures and protocols.
Can we talk about
it? I mean,
that?
One of them is 3 months in the clinic. So I don't know how I'm going to meet you and go home and we're going to just...
3 months in the clinic?
3 months. I get to know you for 3 months and then we go to the clinic and we get tested and then we can get it on and popping.
Well, you and I know each other for a while.
So we can go to clinic today.
Let's go to the clinic. Rum.
But or if it's like, you know, I want to expedite the process, we can, you know.
I was on Facebook today and somebody put on their thing. I was like, I just got my HIV test back and it's negative. Yay. And I thought that was the first time I had seen somebody do that on Facebook where they're like talking about it.
Or you could be like, I just went to get an STD test and I have gonorrhea.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just, you know, I am paranoid of that. So if, I mean, it normally, it's kind of like how I feel about going to the bathroom in foreign places. I only use the bathroom, do certain things in my personal bathroom.
You use the bathroom here.
I peed.
Can we sell that urine?
I checked.
But if I had to do number two, I'd be like, I gotta go. Bye now.
There is a website where you can buy like Jack Black and Madonna's and like celebrities like pee and poop and stuff. And I'm wondering if like the celebrities are submitting
it
themselves.
There's a website to do that?
Oh, yeah.
You get another form of revenue for you there.
I tried selling my stuff and no one wanted to buy it.
No, you need to do that again.
Skin
for that.
Cells. Yeah.
That was we'll a... Right, buying somebody else's feces. Yeah.
Madonna, I'm sure there's some crazy gay man who would buy Madonna's poop.
I wonder what it would look like. Ew.
It would be made out of gold.
And I'm sure it would look
cures
like
cancer.
Deer poop or something that's vegetarian because she doesn't eat meat, right?
She doesn't eat meat. She's vegan.
It's probably not even poop. It's probably called spore.
And the thing about Madonna is that she takes a lot of like, you know, drugs and stuff like what is it? Not GHB. What is that anti-aging hormone?
I have no idea.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
I know what you're talking about, though, but I don't know.
Human growth hormone, yes. HGH. And so she has so much of it circulating in her body that if you actually ate Madonna's poop, it would make you younger.
Wow.
Think about that. That's why Guy Ritchie looks so good.
You guys are off the chain.
Look what happened to our next door neighbor. He's complaining.
Well, it's her upstairs neighbor. Madonna's upstairs neighbor in New York State has filed with the New York State Supreme Court. because she's taking it that far because she's been complaining about the amplified music coming from her apartment.
Yeah, reportedly she made it into like her apartment to like a studio, and she's been like rehearsing and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, and amplified music studio, and whatnot. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would drive me crazy if I was hearing, you know, like Papa Don't Preach 24 hours a day.
Well, you need some Queen to move up there, because you know some Queen would be up there like doing the dance moves with her, right, dancing around. Oh, yeah. Like, woo!
With a little ray. Right, hold on one second. With a little ray of light.
Ow.
Sorry.
That last note was inappropriate.
Well, do you like, what do you listen to? What's like on your iPod?
Actually, there's an Rihanna just premiered her new song today.
Rihanna?
Yeah, she premiered. Yeah, it's called Russian Roulette. And I love it. I mean, a lot of people have been, you know.
How does it go? Sing it for me.
I don't know how.
You have a great voice.
It's very weird. I don't know how. I mean, you can go to my website, lovebyscott.com, and play it. We have it there. Exclusively.
We do. Let me stop. They give you an exclusive?
No, it's not exclusive.
Rihanna loves it.
We had it first, though.
Yeah, I saw it on your website. Yeah, she looks fierce in that picture.
She looks very fierce. And I think that, you know, people need to get into the words of the song. A lot of times people just listen to the song and don't listen to the words. The words of the song are very deep.
What'd you think about the whole thing with her husband and he was beating
boyfriend?
I've talked about it so much, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm over it.
Chris Brown.
Like, you're frustrated with it or
I just hope people walk away with it knowing that it's not okay for a man to put his hands on a woman, period. It's not okay for anyone to put their hands on anyone, but especially, in my opinion, for a man who is much stronger than the woman to do that. And to see her face says it all. I don't know what the backstory of it all is, but seeing Rihanna's face like that is no explanation, no excuse. I don't care what potentially could have happened or went down to excuse that amount of abuse to her face. Speaking it wasn't this one hit, it was a mini hit. It was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, uppercut, Hayul kick, Sonic Boom. It was like all that on her face.
But and the thing is, a lot of people who are in
I love you doing
role,
the motions
yeah,
to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I wish like, you guys could see it.
It's like boxing.
Sonic
like
Boom, Sonic
tai
Boom.
Tai Chi, yeah. Or a little Tai Chi and boxing.
It's like take that
song.
And that and that and I'm not done yet. And you know, it's like it.
Well, what
like,
did you think when Perez Hilton got popped by Will.i.am's manager?
And who's that?
He's a blog. Oh, that's how it is.
Because I was just wondering, because a lot of gay people, you know, on the internet and stuff like that, were all very, what were they? They were he deserved
second.
It.
In 2007, Perez Hilton said that you were his favorite video blogger. And the silence.
Oh.
That love.
Are we gonna have to edit this out?
So I guess the love ain't there no more.
We promote positivity and things of that nature.
Okay. There are times you're just like ready to cry, but you know there are times at home you're like breaking vases and going ah, you know. But we don't get to see that side of you.
Yeah, I mean, yes, yeah. Yeah.
You smack right now.
You threw me
he's
off.
He's going like, it's like, it's sort of like, it's interesting. Are you going to start like another YouTube channel? It's called Hate B. Scott.
Hate B. Scott. That is funny.
You should do it. Change your wig. Get like, you know, how like,
and be angry and mean and evil.
But like how on Bewitched, she had the evil cousin with the black hair. You have the evil B. Scott with like a white.
They
like
would
a
think you're RuPaul. You know, they're going to need somebody to play the RuPaul in the RuPaul story.
Yeah, it wouldn't be me.
You're a great actor and a great singer.
No,
why wouldn't it be you?
It wouldn't be me.
It could be you.
No. I would play Michael Jackson, Prince, something like that, but no. The other people I think that really you know, I think drag is about the illusion.
Sure.
You're creating an illusion of a woman. Okay. I'm way more natural for that than that.
But it's acting.
It's acting.
No, but then I would look more
a paycheck.
Yeah, well thank God. I mean I have a few paychecks on me, I'll be fine. But, you know, I think that is just, you know, no, that wouldn't be the
I don't know, because sometimes I look at you
I respect him, and I love him, and I think that I can't wait for Drag Race 2 to come
too.
On. But, yeah, me playing RuPaul would not work.
So, any chances of getting you to be a guest judge on RuPaul's Drag Race?
That would be great. I would love to do that.
So, because, you know, you have to bring a shiv, though.
They what?
A shiv.
What's a shiv?
You know, a little sharp object to protect yourself against those queens, because they could mess you up.
All right, yeah.
You know, the first season, I looked at Jade, and I was like, she's been in our house and stuff, and she could do some damage.
Yeah, we pat her down before she comes in.
Yeah, I'm 6'1". I can take care of myself.
You know some martial arts moves.
I know some country arts moves, okay? I would go straight country on your ass, okay?
Are you going to go see the Michael Jackson movie? This is it?
I want to, but the tickets went on sale. I think it's kind of sold out. out.
Really?
Yeah. What? I think it's sold out here. I mean, I always go to the Arclight. I only go to the Arclight to see movies.
This is it. I don't even, can't even sing this. The song doesn't, it starts out good and then you're just kind of like, You know? Did you hear it?
No, I haven't. I think I did hear a part of it.
And that's all you hear. And then it's like, and that's it.
And that's it.
This is it.
Well, the song was written like 25 years ago or something like that.
Was it?
83, I think, by Paul Anka. Yeah.
And then he re-recorded it or something like that. Oh, you know, so any kind of fear that you like hook up with somebody and, you know, it doesn't go well and somebody, you know, somebody gets hurt and then you get covered with a leech. I try to come up with
a leech that
sucks your blood.
Oh, sucks your blood.
If an animal, this is some advice for our listeners and for you, if this applies to you, Scott, B. Scott, Brandon.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's on your Wikipedia entry.
It's on my Wikipedia page, but no, you know, Brandon doesn't
B.
work
Scott.
Either.
Okay, so B. Scott.
We need to make a list. You can't Don't mention this person. You, I ain't playing RuPaul.
Should we put this in your Wikipedia?
See, I knew I should have brought my publicist. See,
she should have been here.
She should have been here.
She should have been sitting behind you going,
No, so she can slap the back of your head. Bam!
No. Don't bring up that person. No, but so if you get into trouble, if you commit a crime, you got to be worried about the blood you leave on the outside.
And the leeches.
There's a guy who got convicted.
Yeah, he was caught in Australia. Isn't this crazy? So he robbed a house 7 years ago, and the only thing that they found as evidence was a leech like that was like stuck on the wall or floor or something like that. And so they went back and they tested the blood that was inside that leech, and it matched this guy. So now he's going to go to jail. Isn't that crazy?
That is some CSI type of bullshit.
I'd like to see you on CSI.
I would too.
You could be a dead body or a person or a cop.
See, that's a lot better than playing RuPaul in the movie. That would be good.
About the same thing.
What do you have against RuPaul?
Oh. No, I love RuPaul. I just don't, you know, that's drag is not my thing. You know?
Well, it'd be fun. You know, acting is acting, though. Yeah. You know, I saw Jack McEnroth in Law & Order, and he played a dead body that had been killed with a ball gag in his mouth. And so in the show, they take the ball gag out of his mouth, and he's like, And I asked him about that. I was like, was it hard? And he's like, actually, it was pretty easy. Right. It's a natural. You know, yeah. It's called method acting. Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, the entire Hungarian police department has quit?
Not all of it. Just in one village. There was a village in Hungary, and they won the lottery worth $16 million. So there was 15 people on the police force.
I know that's right.
And they were like, we quit.
They kissed my ass. This is my last day at work. I'm leaving the village.
And I'm going to go. What would you do if you win, like, an outrageous amount sum of money? Would you just continue doing what you're doing now?
Yeah,
right?
I continue to be fabulous
and never stop.
Yeah, and just I don't know, be going to the spa a lot more.
get a little facial
every day. I don't know, you know.
It's just a pleasure having you on the show, and
thank you.
You're just so wonderful, and we love you, and we're dying to see what happens with your TV project.
Yes, I am dying to see it as well. We're very, 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 very close to signing some papers. So
we'll know in the next
like
couple weeks.
Sign
the
papers. Papers, yeah, or a new song. Papers. I'm ready to sign those papers.
Do you think like in the next couple of weeks we'll know? Or
I think yes, in the next couple of weeks you should know.
You'll call me on the phone.
But until then,
yeah.
On November 2nd, my Mariah Carey interview will debut and premiere on lovebscott.com. November 2nd, Mariah Carey interview.
I'm gonna put a link up on a
sort of like how Oprah with Whitney Houston, the interview.
Yeah, but see, you didn't need a taser.
November 2nd,
because yeah. Oprah, you know, she had a taser in her pocket. Because Whitney could have gotten a little, you know,
right?
She's crispy. That's the way I describe it. Did you see that Whitney Houston's pictures on iTunes?
No, I have not.
So they bought, I guess the record label bought the entire top of iTunes, and they did a photo session with Whitney that wasn't in part of the album.
Right.
And so basically they splashed some cold water in Whitney's face, and they shoved her into the photo studio and said, stand up here and look at the camera. And she looked like she had been woken up, and she's like, what?
Wow.
Ah, what's going on?
No, but what I did see is that recently on the X Factor, she performed, and it was a little interesting performance.
Do you think Whitney will ever get back?
I have prayed for the best. I kind of felt the same way Oprah did, because obviously during the Oprah interview, Oprah was very nice and allowed the story to just be told the way it was told. And I think Oprah was doing that because she wants to encourage her in every way she can to stay, you know, in the light and not go back to the dark. Mm-hmm. And I feel the same way, you know? So like I want to give her the benefit of the doubt. But yesterday on X Factor, or whenever it was recorded, at the end, it was something when he was asking her questions, something wasn't quite right, but I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe she was out of breath. Maybe she was just nervous about being back in the spotlight. But
I hear rumors that Oprah actually watches your videos.
You hear rumors?
With Gail. They cuddle up with popcorn.
I hope so. I want to be on the Oprah show.
What's that queen going to say next?
What's she going to say about me?
What's she going to say?
Yeah, she does have a Google alert for her name.
Oh, she does?
Oh, yeah. So if you talk about Oprah on your blog, she reads it.
Wow. I'm sure she gets a lot of Google alerts then.
We want to thank our listeners for your fabulous support. And, of course, we've been staying here at the... What are we? Le Parc Hotel?
Le Parc Suites.
Le Parc Suites in glorious West Hollywood.
Very
we
exclusive.
Also want to thank Steamworks Gym, Sauna, and Bath. Release the pressure. Saca la presión. Steamworks. When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you. Visit steamworksonline.com and register to get a discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fun on the promo code field to get that special discount. Play hard. Play smart. Steamworks.
And by our delightful friends at LifeLube.org, your field guide to gay men's health. One of the most exciting blogs on the hot topics of sexuality, cutting-edge research, and fresh thinking on health and wellness.
That's LifeLube.org, people. Mm-hmm. Check it out. Check out
my lube?
I got some for you.
Okay.
I'll pack some.
Right now?
We're done with the show.
How's it supposed to pack the lube with our contact stuff? And then it exploded. And I said, wow. Who taught you how to pack?
Kind of madness.
At least I put it in a Ziploc bag. This is a good thing. We could go buy some more lube, you know, and get ourselves a little Mac. You look a little stressed out, love.
I look a little stressed. Oh, I need to release some
tension. There's a sauna upstairs.
There's a sauna at the hotel. At the Le Parc
Suites. We're right around the corner from the Abbey, so.
Oh.
We're going to go there to have lunch. Let's go get some lunch.
Let's get some lunch. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to leave us here? We're playing a song of yours.
Yes, this is Glamour and Glitter. I came up with it with DJ Father Jules, who's an amazing producer and songwriter. And yeah, it's on my myspace.com/LoveBScottMusic. It is also heard in the intro and in the background of my show on the new B. Scott show. So you can hear it. What's playing with the glamour and glitter and glamour
fashion
and glitter.
Fashion and fame.
Yes. I want to see a new walk. Yes. So that's from Glamour and Glitter.
And you can get that only through...
Right now, we haven't released it yet. We haven't released the song yet, but you can get it on myspace.com/LoveBScottMusic.
And they can follow you on Twitter and then they'll find out.
And on Twitter is twitter.com/LoveBScott.
And if people like want to be you to follow them, how can people kiss up to you?
How can people kiss up to me?
Besides sending you large checks in the mail.
Boxes of cash.
Well, I do have a PayPal account. No.
You do have a PayPal account. You can donate. LoveBScott.com.
That's okay. I think just by supporting me and being positive and, you know, just understand that I'm growing and trying to take this all to the next level and being true to who I am. And I think that's how they can support me and kiss my ass.
Salute you, LoveBScott. I love you very much. I'm Fausto Furnaus.
I'm Mark Killian.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
I love you. Sit on that runway, boy. Will the judges give me a score? Don't stop that bitch, give me some more. 1, 2, 3, 4. Sit on that runway, boy. Will the judges give me a score? Don't stop now, bitch, give me some more. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. To the runway. 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 Come on, Rub Muffins. Come on.
Exclusive.